I just thank the Lord this morning for His mercies to us, that He has shined a light about us, hasn't He? You know, I've been thinking some this week. I just feel like the Lord's been talking to us about a subject about beauty and how that we're appointed to beauty. And I was thinking about, we had the Germans over and they were showing us pictures. They had been from, I believe they flew into the West Coast somewhere. Well, they, I think maybe came through New York and then to Seattle. And they spent time there and then they drove all through California and back through Arizona and New Mexico. And they landed up, of course, back here for now. And I was looking at those beautiful pictures. And, you know, we've seen those places, a lot of them. And it is beautiful. It's breathtaking. And they showed us the Grand Canyon and all those things. I was thinking here how that we went to out to the Creation Museum in Ohio, in Cincinnati, I guess it is, or right there close to Cincinnati. And, you know, they want to say that those things evolved and that somehow there was something happened and somehow all the wonderful earth and us and everything else just happened to be. But you know, they were showing in that Creation Museum how that they were explaining how the flood formed so many of these things. And you know, those breathtaking things that we see, I believe firmly, you find all over the earth evidence that the earth has been covered with water. And you see that. God made it that way. He took even the great flood and formed beauty from it. And so I look and I see what God has done. And it is amazing to me. It is so amazing to me to drive across America. And I know the world all across it is the same way. And I would be happy to see the Alps sometime. But to me, I don't see how you could get much prettier than all the beauties we have right here. You know, God made it that way. And it is astounding. It's the work of His hand. It's what He has done and left here for us. And you know, the Lord didn't stop creating beauty there. The Lord looks at you and me, and He still has beauty in mind. I believe God is a God of rich color. He's a God that loves variety. You see everywhere and all that He has done. It's astounding what the Lord has done. You know, the Lord wants to create in you and me His work also. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about this week. I want to ask us to consider the word of the Lord and how that God wants to work in our lives, because He has some things He wants to do in our lives. In Psalms 149:4, we'll start there. And it says here, "For the Lord taketh pleasure." Listen to this. "The Lord taketh pleasure in His people." Did you know that this morning? The Lord takes pleasure in His people. God takes pleasure in that. He made the earth, the beautiful earth, for our benefit. I don't believe it means much to the Lord, those beautiful mountains, although He made them beautiful. But He takes pleasure in His people. It says, "He will beautify the meek with salvation." This morning, I just want us to think about allowing the hand of God to work in our life. He said He would do what? He would beautify. What, you know what beautify means? I didn't print the definition, but it means to make something beautiful. It means to do something, I believe actually the word also has some parts in there about glory and about there's something there that God has done and then wants to do. And it says he'll beautify and bring glory to himself, I believe, the meek with salvation. The meek are people that are lowly and humble. They're people that have humbled themselves before God and before his mighty hand. Meek means humble and lowly, meek. The word means mild of temper or soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. You know, I believe the Lord wants to work his work, just like he worked that work in those beautiful mountains. Maybe at one time, all of that was flowing with water. It was flowing. Sands were forming. Things were in there. God was at work. He broke up the fountains of the deep. And he was working there. And he was forming his beauty by his hand. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to form his beauty like that in our life. I believe that God's beauty, he said he would beautify the meek, those that will allow him, his great hand, to work in their lives. All of us here, this is a challenge to us, isn't it? To be meek under the Lord's hand, to allow him to work in our lives this morning. You know, I was thinking about what God is after. He said he would beautify us with salvation. That's his deliverance. That's his work in our life. That's the work of God, putting inside us his ways, his thoughts, his mind. And I believe that when God does that, it's something that is attractive to the world. I believe the scripture says that he has perfected praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You know, the Lord wants to perfect some things in our life. He would like for our lips to bring forth and our life to bring forth praise to him. I believe the Lord wants to perfect that in our life. He wants to beautify us with those kind of things in our life. They come to the meek. They come to those that allow his hand to work, just like those sands allowed God to work in that way. You know, it's not by confidence in ourselves, but I believe God wants to put confidence into his people. You know, there's something beautiful about somebody that is confident in the Lord, that has faith to believe God's hand is in my life. God's going to help us out here. You know, that faith and that confidence, God wants to put it in our life. He wants to form it into our lives. There's something about a Christian that allows the things of life to discomfort them, that it's a detraction to people wanting to serve the Lord. I just want to encourage us this morning. God wants to build into our lives a strength, a confidence, a blessing, a beauty that only God can give, that he wants to give us through his deliverance and through his salvation, through the beauties that he wants to give. Young folks, I want to tell you something this morning. God wants to beautify your life. You may feel like, well, I feel ugly because I'm not dressed in the latest fashion. I want to tell you something. Some of the most beautiful people I have ever seen were not beautiful on the outside. But they were beautiful people. I loved what I saw. They were attractive to me. They attracted something. They made me want to be that way. They made the world a better place. I want to challenge you, young folks, don't go after your dreams of high and mighty. Let the Lord build into your life that which is true, that which is strong, that which is right, that which is pure, that which is godly. The Lord wants to build into our lives. He says, add to your faith virtue. You know what virtue is? It's manliness. That's what he wants to add in every person's life, men and women alike. He wants to add not that we become like a man, but in the things of God, that we have strength, that we have valor, that we have those things that God wants to put. Add to your life some of those things and allow God to be able to start working in your life this morning and in mine. You know, I know most of us probably are familiar with Isaiah 61. And I felt like this is what the Lord gave me to start with. And he's just, I've just been so challenged by it. Starting at verse 3, and then we'll come back to 1 and 2. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. You know, this morning, to appoint means to, it means decreed, ordained, constituted, allotted. You know what? It is allotted by the Lord to those that mourn in Zion. There are some things appointed to you and me. You know, this morning, I want to challenge us. There's some things appointed to us this morning that may mourn, that may be heavy. This scripture, I believe, and reading the commentaries, I believe that it's speaking of one that is in mourning. Because when they used to mourn back there, they put dust and ashes on their heads sometimes. They would dress in sackcloth, and they would be in mourning. They would be heavy. And you know, this morning, the Lord says that He has appointed to them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. You know, for those ashes that we might put on our head, I want to tell you something. God wants to appoint something better than that this morning. The Lord wants to make us a little trade today. Ashes don't have much left. There's nothing good left. Everything's burned up. But I want to tell you something. God said He had wanted to appoint to those that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes. He said He wanted to give the oil of joy for mourning. You know, the ointment or the things that they put on when they were in mourning were not splendid. They were not good things. But you know, when God anoints with joy, that's a blessing, isn't it? It's an ointment. It's an oil. It's a good thing in our life. And He said He wanted to give the oil of joy for mourning. He wants our life to be to have a little of that on us. You know that this morning? I just want us to think about that. The Lord wants there to be the oil of joy. He wants to give us some joy in our life. He wants to trade us out. We bring our mourning sometimes. We bring our heaviness sometimes. And it says He wants to give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes we have to step on the enemy's territory to get it. Because he'll try to put you in a hole, in a box, settle you away. I want to tell you something. God wants to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'll tell you why. That they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That He might be glorified. You know, the Lord is wanting to get this kind of glory out of our life this morning. The Lord wants to be able that when people see our lives, do we praise that mountain? Do we look at those beautiful canyons and praise them? Oh, no. We say, surely God is amazing. How great Thou art when we look up and see the stars and when we see the works of His hands. I want to tell you something. God wants to make that into your life. The saints are not always real glamorous people. But I will tell you, there's something about a kind, gentle, loving, pure, careful, honest spirit in this world that is very attractive to people. You work in the business world, and if you work with them honestly, I will tell you, there's something there that attracts them. They're not willing to do that usually, but they want that. They see that, and they love that kind of thing. Many people do. I know not everybody does. You know, in verse 1 it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Again, He mentions the meek. You know, to the meek are many promises. The Lord gave me a message one time on meekness. To the meek is all kinds of promises in the Word. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings. What are the good tidings? It is the gospel. That's what the gospel is. unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Satan captivates people. He causes people to be in chains that they cannot break free from. You know what the Lord wants to do for us today? He wants to let us go free. God wants to uncaptivate us, if there's such a word. He wants to let us loose. He wants us to be free. And He wants us to be able to have, He wants to trade in for our garments of heaviness, of mourning, of sackcloth. He wants to trade for us the garment of praise and the oil of joy. The Lord wants to do that for us today. You know, I can't give you that, but I can tell you about it. And I believe the Lord can give it to us. It's taken by force. It's taken because we seek the Lord, because we see this mountain and we say, give me that mountain. It was promised to me. Give me now give me that mountain. I might be 80 years old, 85, but it was promised to me. I know I'm making reference to Caleb and the mountain there. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You know, that's what the Lord was sent for, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And then it goes on, the scripture we read before. I want to read where Jesus quoted this in Luke 4 and 17. It says here, and there was delivered, Luke 4 and 17, there was delivered unto him, Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And listen to what he said. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This came through Jesus Christ. This blessing that was prophesied came through the Lord. And he told those people, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. You know, this morning, we're 2,000 years down the road or so, almost. But you know what? This day, it's fulfilled in our ears. This day, the Lord speaks those things to us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, this morning, I believe this. We have to lay hold on the promises of God. They're given by God. They're for His people. He died for that. For these things He died. And the Lord wants us to have them. And I want to encourage us in our life today to lay hold on the promises of God and not allow the enemy to cause us to fall behind or to not have those things that God has promised us. I want to look in 1 Thessalonians 3, and I'm probably going to look some of these scriptures up and just quote some of them. But in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3, it says here that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Is there a conflict with that, where the Lord says that He was going to appoint beauty for ashes, and this here where Paul says that we are appointed to afflictions? You know, I know that there is something that we have to understand about the ways of God. Does God always bless us in every temporal aspect of our life? Does He always allow us to never be burdened, to never have a heavy weight or never have an affliction? I want to tell you, we are going to see things in our days. We're going to experience afflictions in our times. And he said here, but he wanted to write to them and let them know, don't let these afflictions move you. That no man be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know, we are more than one part, aren't we? We have a body. We also have a soul. We are spirit, are we not? And God wants to bless that spirit within us. He wants our life to be deeper than the crust. This body is the crust. This body is what people see. But it is not really us. And if that is all we have, and if our body is everything that is entailed in life, and if we look at Sister Karen or those that might be in affliction, and we see only the crust, I'll tell you, we're not seeing the real person. Because God came to set us free. In our hearts, in our lives, in our ways, God wants to set us free. I will tell you what I've heard back from Sister Karen, that the Lord is supporting her. That her life is blessed. That her heart is blessed. That she is feeling the blessing from the Spirit of the Lord. You know what? This morning, that's more valuable to me than any long, healthy life. Because I know one day we're going to face God, folks. One day the real you and me is going to stand before God. And then what's really real is going to count. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to set our spirit free. He doesn't want us in heaviness in our spirit. Though this outward man perish, and day by day, it disintegrates or it begins to degrade. I want to tell you, the inward man, he wants it to increase day by day. The Lord wants to give us some graces that when people look upon it, they truly can see the beauty of God's hand at work. And the Lord, I believe, really wants to do that. I want to bring out a few scriptures to verify this thought. In John 16 and 33, John 16, verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you." The Lord had just told them that the hour was going to come. He said, "Is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Though your eyes see what is going on, though your eyes see that I just got crucified, though your eyes see those things," he said, and your hope in me seems to be dashed. He said, "I've spoken to you these things that in me you might have peace." I want you to go deeper than the crust. I want you to find joys that the world cannot take away. That if our body deteriorates and dies, that we don't lose our hope. That our hopes are not born upon our dreams or our aims, but that it's in God. You know, this morning, there's something deeper, folks, and the Lord wants to give it to us. He wants us to fight for it. He wants our inward man to be free, to be full, to be vibrant, to have praise to God. And I believe that this morning. "I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I have seen and witnessed those that labored hard. I have seen those that gave their life for this thing. And they didn't maybe have all the joys that some people get to do and be. But I'll tell you what they did have. They had an inward contentment and peace and joy that money and things and places could not buy. This morning, I just want to point us a little deeper. The Lord wants to give us of Himself. He wants Himself to be created in our life. He wants us to allow His hand to create in our life what He wants to do. And that may not be what we want sometimes. I was thinking about the tribulation. And my thought went back to the ship in the ocean. You know, as long as the ship is in the ocean, it's okay. But they say when the water gets in the ship, that's when it's in trouble. When the ocean gets in the ship, it sinks. We can sail a wild ocean. We can stay afloat and God will care for us. But I will tell you, if we let the cares get inside us, if we let the griefs, the troubles, the bitterness, the offenses harm our souls, I will tell you, our boat will go down. There's no way for a ship to float if it's full of water like that. I thank the Lord this morning. I've found it to be so. We go back to the God that made it so. And we rest in Him. And we trust in Him. And we allow His hand to work in our life. We allow His knife to carve on our heart. And we may be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. But I will tell you what that will do. That will begin to see those areas. God will begin working in us and pointing out those places. This part of self has to go. And we begin to let His knife carve. I want to tell you, if we will allow Him to, He will create something that is a wonder to the world. God will do that this morning. Let not your heart be troubled, one scripture says in John 14:1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the Lord said that because of what we just read over here in the 16th chapter of John. Because in Him we can have peace. And the Lord wants to give that to us today. In Matthew 11, another little scripture we're all so familiar with. Most all of us probably. 11:28. You know, Jesus allotted something. He gave to us, as we started out by saying, the Lord gave to us for our mourning. He allotted to us His oil of joy and His peace. And here we read where He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll allot something to you. I'll give something to you for that. You bring your labor. You bring your heavy laden heart. You bring your needs to me. And I'll tell you what I'll give you. He said, I'll give you rest. That's what the Lord wants to trade us out for, folks. The Lord doesn't want us to be under things forever. God wants to work in our life. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke, His yoke in the flesh can be pretty tough. Those apostles that He spoke with in all of these things, they died a martyr's death, most of them, except for John, they say. And of course, Judas took his own life. But He says here, you come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you suppose they were in fear of that day all their life? Do you suppose Paul didn't know that probably one day my life's going to end in martyrdom? I'm guessing Paul knew that. He figured that. But you know, that didn't harm Paul's life at all. He says here, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's deeper than the things of this life and the things of this world. This morning I just want to challenge us. Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper than the flesh. Take us deeper than the hurts of this life. Take us deeper than where we're at. I want you to mold in my life. And I want this. And I know this is going to come from pain. But Lord, I want you to mold in my life praise to your name. God wants to do that. He wants there to be, when people see that part of that mountain over there, he wants them to see that beautiful vein that comes through all of that rock that's there. He wants them to see that vein of praise. He wants them to see that next vein, or that vein that's a little lower than that, of contentment, right where God placed us. He wants people to see that vein, that though they know the wind has come, the storms rage, that vein of peace that God has put in our life that runs around that rock. God wants us to have those kind of things. He wants to put it into our life. And if we will let Him, He will do that. Sometimes He has to break up the rock to be able to do that. Listen to Isaiah 55 and 1. We find everywhere, we find the Lord telling us, come to me. I want to give you something better than what you've got. He says here, ho, or listen up. Everyone that's coming by, listen, I want to say something to you. Ho, wait a minute. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you trying to fill up your life with something that doesn't fulfill you? Why are we spending all of our energy for something that doesn't fulfill? He says here, that's what he's talking about here, that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. There's a lot of things in this world that have a gleam and a glamour, but they don't satisfy the soul. And he says here, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You believe God wants His people to have this kind of promise this morning? You believe the Lord wants us to be able to delight ourselves in fatness in the things of God? In the good things, the contentment, the peace, the happiness, the joys of God? I believe He wants us to delight ourselves in fatness. And I want to have more of that as we go. I believe that if we'll allow God to make some trades with us, I believe that our testimony will have an effect on people. Not because of the words we say, but because of the beauty of God's handiwork that they see in our life. That's what and our words go with that sometimes. The words are valuable. But you know, when people see God's handiwork, it is something they want. We want others to want this, don't we? We want our children to want this. Let God have His way in our life. He said He would give these things unto who? The meek, the lowly, the ones that will allow the offense, the ones that will allow the carving knife in their heart. He'll give this to you and to me this morning. The Lord wants to do that. He said in Luke, He said, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. You know, the Lord has appointed to us some things. We read over there in Isaiah where He appointed to us these things we've been talking about. The Lord tells us Himself, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. You know, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom that He's appointed? We read in Romans 14 and 17, I think we're all familiar with this. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Is He appointing us some kind of a territory, some kind of things in this life that people will say, wow, you know, they must be smart. Oh no, He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness. That's God's hand in our life. He wants to carve it. He wants to form it. He wants to birth it into our life. God wants to put it in there. And then He wants to follow that with His peace and with His joy. The Lord wants us to go deeper. He wants us to find some of these things in a deeper way, in a stronger way this morning. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, that's beauty that the world cannot attain to. That's beauty that the world cannot give. That's something that they cannot really understand even, is when this can happen. When the chips are down and everything goes down in the country, you hear of people starting to commit suicide. People doing this and doing that. People getting out of the country. All kinds of things. But I'll tell you what God wants to do. He wants to translate us into a heavenly kingdom that is full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's not dependent on the things of this world. I believe that this morning. The Lord has appointed for us a kingdom. I want to read Acts 14 and 22. And listen to the words here that Paul was telling these people when he went through. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, that's the word of God this morning. Through much tribulation you enter into the kingdom of God. Let's stop trying to stop the tribulation. I know we don't want it. We do our best to sidestep it, and maybe we should. But I will tell you, when God brings or allows tribulation in our life, let's allow it. We must through much tribulation enter into this kingdom of peace and righteousness and joy. The Lord wants us to enter. He wants us to be a full-fledged partaker of this kingdom. And this morning, young folks, don't sell your life short. I remember one time a young fella starting off in the world, and a minister said, "Well, they're climbing Fool's Hill." You know, that hurts me. They're climbing Fool's Hill. They've got to try the world and be hurt. Fool's Hill. Seems like it is, but it isn't. You know, this morning, young folks, don't climb Fool's Hill. There's all kinds of hurts along the way that never stop. They continue on until many times they consume people. Allow the Lord to translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of God, that we must with much tribulation enter into it. Allow the tribulation. So it cost me some heartache. So it cost me some working against the devil. So I have he says, continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation. So we have to work patiently. So we have to fight the devil sometimes. I want to tell you something. What God will give you is more valuable than anything in this world you could ever have. This world don't buy things like that. The scripture says in Isaiah, "Awake, awake," 52:1. "Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem." Did you know this morning the Lord wants us to awake to the fact that God wants there to be a vein in our life that's beautiful, of praise. It's not something we work up and conjure up, but He wants to put it in our life. Praise and thanksgiving to God. He wants there to be those veins in our life, and the Lord wants us to put on the garments, the beautiful garments. He said, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put it on." This morning, where are we at with the Lord? Put on our strength, folks. Claim it by faith and believe. God's going to give me the promises of God. I'm going to put on the beautiful garments. I'm going to wear the garments of righteousness and peace and joy in this life. I want, when people see my life, to see those veins of humility and honesty and integrity and all of those things. I want them to see those veins running through that work of God. The Lord wants it to be that way. Allow Him. Awake. Put on your beautiful garments. Allow the Lord that liberty in our life. And He'll create something that brings praise to His name. It's not just the old. It's not just those that have been around a long time. We said before, He perfected praise, He says. Jesus said this, I believe. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, He has perfected praise. It is our walk with God. It is our contact with the Lord. Press for it. Get close to the Lord. Allow Him to work in our life. When the things come that we have to slow down and put it in granny gear, put it in granny gear. Let the Lord do His work in our life. Let Him live through us. And I will tell you, I believe that what we will see then is He'll begin to add veins in our life. He'll begin to add, what does it go on to say? Patience He'll begin to add, won't He? There's gold. He wants to add some gold in our veins, doesn't He? I'm not talking about our blood veins. The veins in the mountain. The veins that people see. God wants to add some things in there. Little by little. Little by little. Here a little. And there a little. As we allow His work in our life. As we continue through all the frustrations of life to earnestly seek God. That is our number one choice. That is our number one, our only. That is above all other. And we put that in front of us all through life. I want the will of God in my life. Whatever it brings to me today or tomorrow, I want to humble myself, Lord, to Your will. You said to the meek, You'd add these things. I believe the Lord will do that this morning. Salvation will God appoint. I'm going to read that one last scripture before we quit. In Isaiah 26 and 1 to 4. Listen to this wonderful promise this morning. In that day, listen to this, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's not the kind you and I have, is it? Trust in the Lord forever, for in him, in the Lord Jehovah, is everlasting strength. All this morning, let the weak say, I'm strong. I will follow the Lord all the way. Not everybody does that. You look back at the people of Israel. They didn't all say that. They didn't all say, well, I know God did all these things in Egypt. I know He brought us through the Red Sea. I know He's protected us. I know He drowned them. He put a wall between us where they couldn't see us at night. And we had light and they had darkness. And they saw all of these things. And yet they said, we can't go in. The giants are too big. What are we going to do with our life? Are we going to be one of them that says that? Or are we going to say, I know God can. I know He can. The God that did all of those things, the God that helped me yesterday, He'll help me today. The God that helped us last time, He'll help me again.